Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guests are Unlock the Middle. Unlock the Middle are proud middle school principals who co-host a video cast to celebrate and unlock all that is special about middle school. These two principals are middle school principals that live in Dudley and Charlton, Massachusetts. The first principal is Chris, and he is a principal of Dudley Middle School. They have been working together since they were teachers. And Chris is also the lead learner. It's a grade 5 through 8 middle school. He sees students grow and make gains over time. He enjoys working with and supporting the educators and implementing best practice strategies and taking risks with authentic and innovative ideas. So their video cast, Unlock the Middle, airs Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And they will give you their social handles at the end of the podcast. So I welcome you both on, Dean and Chris. Thanks for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast.
Hey, Dana, thanks a lot for having us here. There were a couple of blips in the bio.
Sure, go ahead.
that you read. No big deal there. I think you got integrated in some of Dean's bio for me. It's no big deal at all, though.
Yeah, well, tell a little bit about yourself, Chris.
Sure. So I started out in education in 94, so this will be year 26 for me. Started in private school, school for learning abled kids, Eagle Hill School in Hardwick, Mass. And then I taught in the city of Worcester for mathematics at Burncoat Middle School. And then I've held administrative positions in Shrewsbury at Tantasqua and now here in my hometown of Dudley, Mass. It's pretty an exciting journey to get here.
Well, I thank you guys for being on today. And you guys have an interesting story about how you two met. You've known each other since you were starting out pretty new as teachers, correct?
I'm going to take that one over if I could. And before I even go there, Chris has always wanted to be like me. So thank you very much for that introduction. But I finally got him on my platform. So we met more towards our administrative careers. And, we kind of morphed into a situation where Chris and I aligned some paths, and Chris was he was an administrator in another district, and we got him to come over to our district and join our administrative team. And the rest is history. He's a great guy to work with. He's somebody is my go-to guy. And quite frankly, with everything we do, we share, we collaborate, we build, and we put it at the center of kids' best interests and supporting teachers to the highest level we can. So it's been a great journey so far.
And tell me about a time each of you were in the trenches. I'll go ahead and start with you, Chris.
In the trenches, gosh. We could go back to the time when I was working as a correctional officer, back in college. But I think in the classroom, it's really where I learned an awful lot about meeting the needs of kids and where they're at and not having top-down teacher-directed expectations. When I started out, I was really young coming out of college, and I was a management information systems major. I should have been debugging computer programs in a cubicle. And I took a summer gig at Eagle Hill School as a computer teacher and counselor. And lo and behold, I ended up finding my passions there. But working in that school really taught me about individual abilities as opposed to disabilities. And everywhere I've gone since, I've always been focused on that ability that students have. If a student's dyslexic or dysgraphic, or if a student's got some other nonverbal learning issue or a verbal learning issue, they always have strengths, and they're able to bring their strengths to the table if the teachers allow them to. And one particular story reminds me of how important that lesson is. Working with a student who really wasn't being successful socially or academically in that small school environment, really struggled and went through a very personal situation. And having had him in class and being on campus, I ended up being a confidant of his, and he really was able to open up to me beyond anybody else that he was able to open up to, and allowed me to help get him some support and assistance. And that was really the first time that I had a student who was in real significant crisis. But the words that he used at the end were, you know, I came to you because you trusted me to do everything that was right in your class. And that was a real important lesson to me. And it really did help shape quite a bit of the future experiences I've had with kids. It was a lot more complicated than I just summarized, but it's a lesson that really brings me back to my core about why I'm an educator.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like kind of getting into education was partially by chance, since that was starting as a summer gig, and then you realized that that was something you wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, I had been a camp counselor out here at Camp Foskett in Dudley and Charlton and in high school, and I figured it'd be an easy way to get out of the gap between college and the real world. Mm-hmm. So I took that on, and lo and behold, 3 years later, I met my, you know, now wife at Eagle Hill, went through a master's degree program at Springfield College with her, went through a admin leadership program at Worcester State University with her, and just kind of followed. So the entry into the career as an educator was, you know, just by chance. But I did fall in love with it. And I think it was certainly something I was destined to do.
Well, tell me, Dean, time about you when you were in the trenches and how you managed to pull up.
Sure. It was 1993. I received a phone call from the superintendent at the time, Al Thibodeau. And I was coaching boys varsity basketball, just migrating into the teaching scene. And he told me he had 250 applicants in front of him, but he wanted to meet me first. And from there, the doors opened. And in my first year of teaching, I had a mixed classroom with multiple levels of abilities. It seemed as though I was receiving the freshman duty, I guess, as a new teacher coming into the high school level. And we had a mixed junior, senior high school. So they were seventh graders, and they were tough. And they taught me the value of relationships before anything else. And I don't know how much content they learned as a social studies teacher, but I do know they learned a lot about who they were and what their path needed to be successful as they continued through high school. For 10 years, I served as a high school history teacher at Shepherd Hill Regional High School. And it wasn't until I was approached by a mentor of mine, Sean Gilrain, who was the principal at the time. He got me to start looking into leadership. So I had finished up my first master's, and I started my second master's in leadership and administration. And from there, I migrated over to Charlton Middle School, and I've been in leadership for 15 years since then. But the value that I take away from the time in the trenches is very simple. Everything we do is based around relationships with kids. And you have to make kids feel validated with who they are and where they're coming from before we can expect any learning to take place. And I take that with me every single day now as a middle school leader. And I try to tell my teachers, it's relationships before content. The content will follow, and it will follow at a high level if kids believe that you believe in them. So, you know, every day I'm learning. I get to work with people like Chris, and we have great administrators on our team. But more importantly, every day is a new journey, and every day is an opportunity to help somebody. And that's where I'm at. And it's amazing. Our jobs are amazing. I can't believe I get paid to do what I do.
Yeah. So it sounds like even just starting out as a new teacher, you kind of got recruited out of that coaching role, and the superintendent saw something in you as a coach to put you into that role with that tough group of students. Right. But you realized right off the bat, as you started out teaching, that relationships were more important than how much material you covered.
Well, coaching teaches you about adversity very quickly. And it really exposes weaknesses in people because you are tested in every second when you're coaching a team at any level. It doesn't matter because you're dealing with human emotion. and you're dealing with kids who aren't even understanding of their cognitive abilities and their reactional abilities. So you're always shaping, you're always molding. And I always said the toughest time in education for me, it wasn't being a teacher, it wasn't being an assistant principal, it wasn't even being a principal. It was being a high school coach for 12 years, because every decision you make has a ripple effect on everything about people. Mm-hmm. And you want to stay consistent. You want to be clear. You want to be transparent. And you grow over time, because that's where my biggest part of my growth came from. I had my highest highs and my lowest lows. So definitely shaped who I am today as a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's definitely been a plus for you as you became a teacher and an administrator. So tell me also about a time you guys have been working in middle school admin for a while. Tell me about how you all kind of have that same philosophy of rethinking and reimagining schools, kind of your vision for schools. You know, you work pretty close together. Your schools aren't very far apart from each other. So do you collaborate a lot on planning for your school and kind of the strategic plan and you know, your unified improvement plan for the year, those type of things?
Yeah, you know, when we started out together in Dudley Charlton, we definitely had a similar philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, students first, relationships are primary. But what we learned quickly was that we have similar ideas about what school can be. And, you know, school can be anything that teachers want to design to get the kids engaged in the learning process. And I've had some different experiences outside of the district that I was able to bring in to share perspective. You know, one was transitioning being a part of a team that transitioned a seventh and eighth grade middle school from traditional grading to standards-based grading. Mm-hmm. My previous school, we started engaging in project-based learning before Dudley Charlton in a formal way. And we had some real trailblazer teachers who had authentic ideas about how to engage kids in content, as opposed to chapter seven. It was, here's a topic, what do you want to learn about it? And let the kids be experts and utilize flipped classroom model, utilize problem-based and project-based learning, interest-based activities and workshops and the like to get kids engaged with the content. So having those experiences and bringing them into Dudley Charlton, looking at the real strengths that we have and talking about our longer-term vision for what middle school could be led us into last year, which everything went kerflooey on March 13th, as we know, with our closure. But that led us to a real simple point. And, you know, it was either Dean or me or a combination of the two of us that said, one school, one lesson for the spring. Mm-hmm. And that was really our springboard to bring us as two schools together to talk about real solid instructional planning and experiences to ensure that an eighth grader at Charlton Middle School had the same experience as an eighth grader at Dudley Middle School. Mm-hmm. We're not continuing that lesson model this year, but we are continuing the curriculum planning model to ensure that there's great parity across the district and we can have educators build their strengths. Sorry, Dean, I just kind of was on a roll.
No, man, you took it and ran. And all I would add is, you know, when you have a regional school district, it's easy to be more of an isolationist. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is you're in your classroom and you don't realize the power of the people around you. Both Chris and I have staff that are amazing. They have great talents and they recognize the fact the epiphany happened when they came together and they started having banter back and forth about content and best practices. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know, we're powerful if we come together. Mm-hmm. And the walls started to break and you started to see the real value of collaborative work. You know, to this day, we're probably a little ahead of some of the other parts in our district right now because we started this early on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was fearful because of the fact that we had both had established middle schools that understood what they believed was right. Mm-hmm. And you try to get a shift in mindset to let go of some things and to add things. Our teachers have done an amazing job and Chris, and one of the things I really like about him, he had no problem breaking down those walls and bringing this to his staff. And, you know, for me, it was just a no brainer. We're here, we're passing this baton on to somebody after we go. Mm-hmm. And if we set the seeds for someone to come in and just have this place humming, then we've done our job. And by what I mean by that is recognizing and empowering the people who do the heavy work every day. And that's the educators that come into our building. You know, you need to feel that you can take a risk and not be reprimanded for it, not be called out for it, but to be applauded, to be able to start changing the mindset of what education looks like. We're not in 1970 anymore. We're not in 1980. You know, we've talked about change for so long, but we haven't really gotten to that point. COVID-19 has put us into a position where we can now take the tools and begin to imagine and really move forward. It's painful. There are days that it's very painful, but in the end, we're all going to be better for it because we have the tools now to really expand upon what we do every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have particular examples of some of those risks that some of your staff members are taking and how those are success stories for some students at each of your schools?
I've got one to start. Two seventh grade English language arts teachers got together at the start of last year, and they were trying to think of a way to utilize a cross-team kind of collaborative approach to teach writing. Mm-hmm. And they brainstormed up the idea that turned into the Titan Times, which is a newspaper, to teach writing. So they applied for a Dudley Charlton Education Foundation grant to help get supplies and materials and, you know, a couple of laptops and a really high quality printer towards the end of last year. But the start of this whole process was, rather than teaching writing in a traditional sense, let's go ahead and get the kids very invested and involved in identifying topics of their choosing. Mm-hmm. Have them go ahead and show us what their skills are with their writing. Teach them what a peer editing process looks like. Mm-hmm. Teach them what a refinement process and editing process looks like. And then creating a final product that satisfies certain criteria. And the criteria, of course, was what the editor has said can fit into the paper in a certain block of space. We've got to go ahead and utilize a certain word count. Mm-hmm. We have to use certain types of expressive language. We have to incorporate pictures into this so we can go ahead and have a good layout. So they learned an awful lot, not only about writing, but about newspaper layout, which was very interesting. And what I noticed in the students' writing overall was they became more autonomous with the writing process. Mm-hmm. Particularly with the peer editing process, because they weren't relying on the teacher for all of that feedback continuously. Their peers were providing them with feedback. So for me, that was a massive risk in an example at Dudley Middle School of something that teachers put themselves out there for. It could have gone the other way very easily. And I'm not saying it was all rosy sunshine and implementation. Mm-hmm. There were some setbacks.
Yeah.
But the thumping of the drum of bring it back, think about it, let's take it to the next level. Would you like to do it differently? What do you need for resources? Let's make it happen. Because their passions were driving them forward to get engaged with this type of a project. So one example from DMS, I've got a couple others from other schools. There are others at DMS as well.
You know, and from Charlton Middle School, I can clearly tell you, aside from the flipped classroom and blended learning techniques that are being used every day, which is a total different shift than what teachers are used to with traditional teaching models. Mm-hmm. We had a financial literacy program in grade 7, DCEF grant came in, and they created a school store, which was a financial genius move because of the fact that kids now could look at building a business, marketing a business, look at the numbers, projections, ratios, everything to do with math in real life. We didn't get as far as we wanted to because COVID shut us down in March of last year. We were getting ready to go online. We had kids working at lunch. We had kids working after school. We had them doing spreadsheets, breaking it all down. And for me, that's making the learning fun. I mean, again, we have so many things like that happening, but that's probably a pinnacle of something that sticks in my mind that we have just started that process. We've got some other things in mind, crossing over to different schools with some writing that's going to happen. And with all of our podcasts that are going on right now, video casts, bringing in student voice, ways to just begin to shape what new learning techniques will look like. That really excites me. But there's something exciting happening at both Dudley Middle School and Charlton Middle School every single day. And it's just, as leaders, we just sit back and say, yes, go, keep going.
Mm-hmm. And they're at such a great age to have that creativity flow. And they don't really have any hangups about, you know, being themselves and getting on camera and, you know, having that broadcast. And, you know, a lot of time just seeing them on there and seeing them thrive while they're doing some type of a broadcast, it really shows us what the students are capable of. And that kind of leads us into a little bit about your Unlock the Middle video cast. You all started in July of 2020. Had you been thinking about getting something started for a while, or was it kind of just when the summer started, something you wanted to do? And tell me about some of the guests that you've had and what you've learned from your video cast sessions.
Listen, this whole thing started around a campfire the day that I brought Chris into Dudley Charlton Regional School District. And the rest is history. We've only just begun. Actually, Chris and I, we're fooling around right now. I'm not going to lie to you. We're dabbling into something that we know is important. We don't consider our video cast to be work. We have spoken with some amazing people. We have three platforms that we're looking to bring into fruition with all of this. Right now, we're highly involved in two. That's our Middle Marvels, recognizing educators around the country that are just incredible rock stars. Teachers never get enough credit. We are just getting started with that, and I can't wait. We got a lofty goal of representation from every state throughout the year, so I'm hoping that we get there. And if you're listening to this, please feel free to reach out to us at unlockingthemiddle@gmail.com and send us your nomination, and we'll go from there. But, during the summer in July, we sat down, we had a couple of ice cold lemonades, and we put it on paper. And the next thing you know, boom, we're talking to Dave Burgess. Boom, we're talking to Rita Wirtz. Boom, we're going right now. People are just coming and they want to tell their story. These authors, you know, Connie Hamilton the other night. We talked to Dr. Greg Goyens the other night about imagining schools. People want to tell the story. There aren't enough people in this business like you, Dana. Mm-hmm. You're pulling these stories out and you're feeding the world about what education should be like. Mm-hmm. And, Do we count viewers? Yeah, we went over 1,000 views, followers the other night. I laugh at that because we just got started. And yeah. You know, what's it going to look like in a year from now? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're just starting. And I couldn't ask for a better partner to work with Chris. We can banter back and forth just about anything. And but more importantly, to shift the spotlight on the people that we're bringing in, because that's what it's all about. It isn't about us. Mm-hmm. It's about the product that we're providing for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the Dean, right back at you, a great partner, great to bounce ideas off of and great to commiserate with. Without a doubt, we walk the same walk and certainly on the same path. I do think that for a number of years, I've been following, you know, a number of educators on Twitter, and I'm a little conscientious about who I follow now, how many followers I have, because I don't have the time I had once before. So I've whittled that down a bit to stay on top of them. But extending the PLN to understand that there are others out there who think similarly, but who have maybe experiences or answers to the ideas. You know, when we talk about reimagining education, it's not always about blowing something up and starting from scratch. It's about making a shift and adjustment to a traditional longstanding practice, which might lead somebody to think about everything in a completely different way. But it starts with one. It is really where it starts. I used to always talk about, you know, the analogy of an avalanche or a rock slide beginning with one pebble, and that one pebble hits a larger pebble and then a rock, and then now we've got a tremendous landslide starting. And that's really what we want to be able to do. We want to identify who can start flicking those pebbles off the top and how they can start bumping and maneuvering and, you know, making some earth shaping experiences. And in this case, really, it's all about shaping education and learning for our kids' futures.
But we do leave every time we have a guest on with learning something new. I mean, I loved our time with Rick Wormley. Rick was an amazing man to talk to. He just offers so much. Everybody we bring on has a perspective, and their perspective then is deeply rooted into the core values of what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's helping kids and helping teachers reach their maximum levels. And we're not going to stop. And again, we're booked out now until the end of November. It doesn't take much. I'll sit on a Sunday night and just reach out to people, and they're like, I've watched you guys. You guys are crazy. I love your energy. It's a, you know, it's a new thing. And, you know, I'll cap it off. I got a text message from an ex-superintendent of mine. He goes, you two are just rocking it. Don't stop. Don't look back, because you're blazing a new trail. And not that we were looking for that, but that's the reason why we're doing it. And I'm glad we're getting recognized for that instead of who we are, because it's not about us.
Yeah.
It's about an end product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What had you come up with the title Unlock the Middle? Is it kind of unlocking secrets, unlocking discoveries, you know, kind of what what is the connotation behind unlock?
Before Chris answers this, I'll tell you what. If you can tell me, I know he's going to go for this because this is his baby. If you can tell me the definition of the ages between 10 and 14, and that definition makes sense to me, then I'm going to have your answer embedded in that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so we were trying to come up with a name for what we wanted to really bring to the table. And I think we must have gone through a couple hundred ideas.
Both students.
You know, yeah. Everything from keys to success measures to middle school. But when we really think about middle level learning, you know, what we think about is the entire entry into social, emotional, academic, in some ways catastrophic experiences as kids try to find themselves. And to unlock the middle is really, for me, that there is no one key that fits this lock. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of keys, or the skeleton key is so complex. That's really why we want to bring in as many different guests as we can to talk about middle level learning. You know, we want to bring in experts about brain-based learning and experiences. We want to bring in experiential educators. We want to bring in educational theorists. So that way we can be as informed as we possibly can be as we are on the hunt to find the key to really unlocking potential in all of our middle school kids and our middle school educators and ourselves, because we're not there yet. We don't have all the answers. If we did, we'd be writing the books and we wouldn't be doing what we do.
Who's to say that may not come down the road? You never know. you never know. And Chris, I don't mean to jump in for a second, but you know, Chris made a good point of talking about the guests we bring on, the teachers that we recognize, but there's an essential piece of Unlock the Middle that still hasn't come out yet. And that's student voice.
Yeah.
And that student voice piece is going to pull this whole thing together. And we're going to phase that in, and it's coming slowly, but it's not going to be a voice just from our two schools. It's going to be a voice from across the nation on topics and areas of importance on how they learn and why they learn and what helps them define their why. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that all the time, because defining your why, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a parent, whether you're a student, is so important to understand how to open the doors to your journey. Unlock the Middle is about a gate being opened. And our job as middle school principals is to provide kids with the skill sets they need to be successful when they go on to high school. They're like a hamster on a hamster wheel, man. I'll tell you, they go and you know that if you're in this business. And by the time 14 comes around, the last day of middle school, and they're walking out and they're crying and they're saying, I don't want to go after all that fighting and kicking for 4 years, I say, you've got to go. This is why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And that's the validation to unlocking the middle, because it's about that skill set. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a teacher, an administrator, a guidance counselor, whatever your role is in our school, a custodian, a cafeteria worker, you all play a role in shaping what kids are going to be like at the next level. And that's the beauty of the culture that we walk in every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a perfect title when you uncover kind of what brought you to that title of Unlock, because, you know, it's defining the why, it's finding out you know, what makes those middle scores tick, and then having the student voice on. I'm looking forward to seeing those episodes where, you know, you're talking about kind of what has been their experience, right? I have a middle schooler myself, and I've worked with a middle schooler. So, you know, a lot of them are struggling right now with, we're in hybrid learning, but, you know, just having that piece where, you know, they're trying to figure out different classes, or trying to, you know, make connections socially. You know, in your area, they start middle school mostly in fifth grade, or mostly in sixth grade?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a mix. Our district is a fifth grade start, but we do have other, you know, districts around us where it's a mishmash. Sixth grade, some are seventh and eighth grade only. Mm-hmm. This district is 5 through 8, which was a new middle school experience for me when I came here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have, you know, different needs, those fifth graders, right? As opposed to some of the eighth graders. And I've worked in both 6 through 8 and 7 and 8. My son, who just started seventh grade, he just started middle school. So, you know, getting that just new type of experience for him, where he's learning to navigate, you know, his classes and expectations from different teachers and the online learning days, you know. So it'll be interesting to hear what these students have to say and what their experience has been of, you know, navigating remote learning. Out of everything we discussed today, I'd like each of you to just tell me what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember. If you want to go ahead and start, Dean.
Yeah, sure. The one thing I'd like you to think about as a takeaway here is, remember, you have to be humble. You have to have an open mind. You have to be willing to listen to people, whether you're a teacher, administrator, or anybody else. The key to success in our relationship is being able to build those relationships. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen very easily. It takes time. I've been humbled so many times as an administrator. I learn every single day on how to connect with people. Everything about our business is connecting with people. Okay. You don't have to be the smartest. You do have to be a hardworking person, but at the end of the day, your ability to connect is going to make or break you regardless of what you do. So, you know, we talk about that. We preach that. We try to model that every single day.
Great.
I think one of the key takeaways that I feel every educator can benefit from is, you know, Dean's point, obviously. I do think that it's important to bring back the concept that relationship is primary, that the kids will remember you for what you wore to school. They will remember you for how you treated them on that first day, how you appreciated them as they left for a week's vacation. They will remember you for the funny idiosyncrasies that you may have and the way you write the date on the board. And they will learn your content, but they may not remember you teaching them that content. And that is okay, because mm-hmm. this is about human development and kids have great capacity. What we want to do is turn out great people. And if there's anything that this world needs, it's great people right now. We want people to be kind. We want them to be compassionate. We want them to be civil and respectful. We want them mostly, though, to be service oriented and have a mindset that they can make positive change around them. And those are the things that aren't necessarily embedded in the direct curriculum. This is all the hidden curriculum. Mm-hmm. But in this case, in my respect, I believe that the hidden curriculum is ever so more powerful than the written curriculum. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I think a lot of educators are discovering that now. If they were set on just teaching to the curriculum, they definitely had a wake-up call last spring when, you know, it's more about the relationships, right, than yep. anything else. So where can people find Unlock the Middle and each of you all online?
Watch this. Go ahead, Chris. Chris has got this down. Like he says this in his sleep. Go for it.
Well, We can be followed on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Unlock the Middle. Same tag for all of those. We do have a email address, unlockingthemiddle.com, unlockingthemiddle@gmail.com. And, you know, of course, we are out there. We do have a website, Unlocking the Middle. I don't remember the exact URL, but you can Google it. It'll turn up in the site. But most importantly, if you do visit our Twitter page, I would suggest visiting the folks that we follow and the folks that follow us to expand and extend your PLN. Because really what we're looking to do is really build a resource experience for folks to be able to come and extend their own professional capacities.
And don't forget, we do have a platform called Middle Marvels. I talked about that earlier. If you are a principal, if you are a teacher, if you are a parent, if you are a community member that know of anybody who is just a rock star in a classroom and that connects beyond connectability, please reach out to us because we want to recognize them for what they do. If we take the time to do that, that pebble that Chris talked about early on becomes a bigger ripple out in society. And we just start telling the stories about great things happening in education. And there are a lot of them.
Well, it was so nice having both of you on the podcast today. I wish you all a great rest of your day. And thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast.
Thank you, Dana.
Our pleasure, Dana. Thank you.